Inside Commodity Futures podcast. My name's Craig Turner. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading and author of Turner's Take newsletter. So we haven't done one of these in a while. I was out on vacation, and then I got sick, had kind of a nasty cough, and turned into laryngitis, which does not go well for podcasts like this. My voice is probably still a little scratchy, but you know, we want to do these at least once a week, so let's get into it. So, since last time we've talked, we've had an election, and that is, I think the market was surprised by who won, to name a few, and you've seen the reaction in the markets. I think, you know, their predictions of the market should be selling off if there was a Trump presidency. We saw that in the overnight when, on the eve of the, on the night of the election night, and then we saw the big rebound since then. So, there's also been conflicting thoughts on what should happen with the dollar and other commodities and interest rates. And now that we've actually had the election about a week or longer than a week to see what's going on, it looks like the market is treating it as bullish the stock market, thinking more of pro-growth, maybe lower taxes, less regulation, and that is kicked in. We'll see if that lasts. We are getting to, you know, some new highs here, and you know, we'll have probably need some fresh bullish news to go higher, or really what we'll need is some probably real economic strength, whether that be through earnings or through GDP or something like that to help the stock market along. The dollar has been on a tear. Where the dollar index is now over 100, and we're up to levels that, you know, over the course of the past couple of years, you know, when we started talking about the possibility of higher interest rates, you know, these are the levels we've been to. So now the idea in the is thinking that, well, under a, you know, a Trump administration, instead of getting a quarter point increase a year or two, maybe we get three or four. We even saw Janet Yellen today talking about how sooner, you know, we need to raise rates sooner rather than later. There is probably more downside in holding off than actually doing it. If we do get some economic growth, let's say we do get you know, some kind of stimulus package that's focused on infrastructure in 2017. You know, and because President-elect Trump has been talking about putting people to work, and it's mostly through infrastructure projects and updating infrastructure in the United States, that would most likely lead to wage growth. It would lead to some economic growth, probably also inflation growth, which isn't so bad as long as inflation's around 2 or 3% a year. And all three of those are things that the Fed looks for to kind of give them the green light where they can raise interest rates if they want. So I think that's why you've seen silver come down. And we were at $18 in silver. Now we're in the high 16s. We've seen the same thing happen with gold coming down. You know, the interest rates are higher. The bond prices are lower, stock prices are catching a bid here, and that seems to be the theme that has pretty much been going on since last Wednesday when markets started to come to terms here with what's going on. One thing I've been writing about in Turner's Take is the pound. You know, the pound has come down quite a bit since the Brexit, and it looks like it could be finding some support here. I don't want to call it a long-term bottom, but consider this. You know, when Europe is having its own issues in terms of economic growth, there's a big referendum going on in Italy, which could be a problem for them. Also, the pound, or, you know, with the Trump administration, there's going to be a lot more willingness, I think, for the United States and the United Kingdom to kind of be friends and do as much economically together as possible. I mean, the United Kingdom did not make Europe happy with the Brexit, did not make the United States and the Obama administration happy either. I think I remember quotes of Obama saying, you know, Britain now has to get to the end of the queue. You know, Trump doesn't have a whole lot of friends outside of the United States. If you take a look at the news reports, if you go by the international news reports, no one seems to be too thrilled about a Trump presidency. You know, Europe is not happy with the United Kingdom. So it may make sense for the United States and the United Kingdom to really come together a little bit more from a partnership. So just from that, I would think that the pound starts to strengthen here. I think the pound, we see a little bit more economic growth, or we see some stability, because the United States, and particularly a Trump presidency, is probably going to really want to have a friend over in Europe. And the United Kingdom certainly could use a friend who is a major economic player right now when they're redoing trade deals. So this could be a turning point for the United Kingdom. You know, as far as politics go, I really don't like to comment on what my personal views are. And this really has nothing to do with how I may or may not vote or what my views are. Just saying what the market's looking at, what the feeling I get from from reading different analysts or different news reports. And just studying those and seeing what's out there, that's kind of where I see that going. So, let's keep an eye on the pound. I've been talking about it a lot, and as long as it's above those lows and above the 20-day moving average, that could be an interesting position. Again, this is a recorded podcast. I am a Series 3 licensed broker. I can't give trade recs on this kind of social media. I can in my newsletter, Turner's Take, but I can't on this. I could tell you why we like things, our analysis of it, but it certainly can't say what exactly we're doing and why. So if you are more interested in what we do, go take a look at Turner's Take, turnerstake.com, and you can find the newsletter there. Moving on to soybeans in the grain markets. It looks like last time we talked, we were kind of talking about how, we can make the case for soybeans going up a dollar or two or coming down a dollar or two. The bullish case for soybeans is starting to die out. Or not die out. It's not as strong as it used to be, I should say. We were hoping for South American weather issues, not getting them. Really hoping for continued strong demand. While demand's still good for soybeans in the export market, not as good as it was a month ago. So now we're talking about prospects of having ending stocks in soybeans, by the end of this year in the United States, they'll be projecting them for maybe over 500 million bushels. So a half billion bushels of soybeans. That's bearish. You can argue for soybean prices under $9 at that point. That's not going to happen until South America makes its crop. But every day, the weather still looks good. Keep in mind, the early beans in South America start getting harvested in January for exports to begin in, let's say, February. So the United States has an export window of, two more months, to do a majority of the sales, and they really got to do some big sales here to put a dent, if they want to continue to put a dent into the ending stocks. The only way you can make up sales in the United States after, let's say, February is if one of two things happen. There are weather issues and delays in South America. They lose crop. Or maybe they harvest so many beans and there's so much, South America can't get them out. They've had logistical problems in the past where they may have the supplies, but they just can't get them off the roads, into the ports, and into the vessels in time, and sometimes sales switch to the United States. So if those things don't happen, it's hard to see us stay in the nines, much less, make a run at 10. There will be opportunities for farmers to sell. We will get some kind of weather scare. We usually do. When we do, I'm talking to our farmer clients, the guys I work with for their hedging, and we're going to be looking to shore up sales. It might be also, the farmers who have old crop in the bin and want to hold on to it, for November and December, we've been talking about covered calls on what they have in the bin. It's a good way to pay for, if those work out for you, it's a good way for buying put spreads, on new crop when we come down to January and February. So I would definitely keep an eye on that. If you have any questions about how we go about our marketing for corn, wheat, and soybeans, you certainly give me a call at 800-958-9470. You can go find me on the Daniels Trading website or at Turner's Take, or you can email me at cturner@danielstrading.com. All that information is in the show notes and at the iTunes store, and also when you download in the show notes of the episode. Moving on to the other grains, corn is kind of in no man's land with 2.4 billion carryout. Hard to get excited about being bullish, but it seems like the market is kind of saying, well, we're going to be, we're not, for whatever reason, we're not really going to go much below $4, $3. Even with a strong U.S. dollar, even with a huge carryout, even with, South America not having weather issues, I don't know, maybe, you know, post-ethanol mandate, maybe $3 corn is the, you know, the $1.50 corn of 20 years ago, where you just don't see it dip below it that often, or a $2 corn. So that remains to be seen, but that's what it looks like is going on. Wheat is getting to prices that we just, you know, we talk about it, 10-year lows or even more. Kansas City wheat in, you know, December is around $4. Chicago wheat's under $4. Don't know how much lower it can go. I got to tell you, I think that we're going to see, and, you know, when we, a few months from now, we're going to talk about Ag Forum. We're going to talk about acreage for new crop in the United States. Would not be surprised to see less double cropping wheat into beans, where basically they stop doing the wheat and it becomes more beans. And we also see in marginal areas, you know, not like the big productive states like Illinois and Iowa, but other states, you know, surrounding the Midwest or on the fringes, a little bit less corn, a little bit more soybeans. So I don't know. I think the market is pricing that in, or at least aware of it, and that's why you know, maybe there's more of there's gonna be more of support, I think, you know, for corn and wheat down here. While if South America has a big crop and we don't see some massive change, you know, for the bulls and exports from China into the United States, you know, beans could be a dollar lower here, you know, in 3 or 4 months' time. So definitely something to be aware of. Certainly something to be aware of if you are a producer. Switching on to energies, crude oil and natural gas, something we talk a lot about in the newsletter. Crude oil, you know, I've been saying for a while now, I think we're going to be between $40 and $50. That's the range. And maybe we get the high 30s on the dips lower. I mean, the low, yeah, and sometimes the low 50s on the big charges higher. But here's the deal. We've seen the after trying to make a run at 40, we start seeing the stories again of OPEC. Maybe this time it's for real. They're really going to cut. I don't believe it, but you never know. This is not the time to short it. But if it does get up into those high 40s, low 50s, and the reason why we're bullish is because everyone's expecting an OPEC cut, I don't know. I start to get pretty bearish on those markets all of a sudden. It seems like no one trusts each other over there. And even though they talk about how they want to cut production, no one's the one who actually wants to cut it. They want everyone else to cut. You know, and a lot of them can't even afford to cut. They don't have the revenue coming in, you know, to support the cut. So I don't know. I get real skeptical of crude oil rallies above $50 unless we have real economic growth. I've been saying for a while this doesn't seem possible. But if we do get more infrastructure spending, if regulations are relaxed for U.S. companies and we start to see more hiring, more economic growth, more capital being put to work, who knows? Maybe that can be a real case. So that is a little bit of a game changer. We will be watching the economic growth reports to see if we do see a real uptick. That's not going to happen for the next couple of months, but it could happen in 2017. In the meantime, I'd probably fade bullish OPEC expectations, and then when we come back down into the low 40s or high 30s, probably that'd be a time to go the other way on it. Again, follow the newsletter. We'll be more specific about it, but I just, and in my newsletter today, I have some stories about it, but, you know, without real economic growth in the United States and the rest of the world, it's very hard to argue for, you know, prices of crude oil to be above 50 for any, you know, long period of time without real growth, which really means real demand. We need real demand. The natural gas, I'm actually kind of on the opposite side. You know, the market seems to be pricing in a warm winter for the entire winter. I mean, we're at 270s in December natural gas after almost being at 350 a month or two ago. I mean, I know we have a lot of natural gas on supply here, and the weather really has been unseasonably warm and has just been crushing for the demand bulls. And that's, you know, but the thing is, now that we're at prices, I mean, when you're talking December natural gas at 270, you know, and then having January and February natural gas at 280 or 290, what you're pricing in is just a mild winter for the entire winter, in my opinion. I don't think that's going to be the case. I've lived in New York, upstate New York, northern Illinois, and the suburbs out here, or in Chicago, pretty much my whole life. It eventually gets cold, and I would, and I know it's going to be, I think 70 degrees today in Chicago, and we're a week away from Thanksgiving, but I just do not see that happening. You know, having that kind of warm weather all December, January, and February. So, I don't know, February natural gas at around 280, 290. You know, I hear people talk about call spreads, finding ways to take a bullish stance in the market. I can't argue with that. If you follow the newsletter in Turner's Take, we'll talk more about our thoughts about it. You know, as our the owner of this firm, Andy Daniels, like to say, you know, it's all about trade location and catalysts. I think the trade location for natural gas, we're getting towards some big support levels here. Looks pretty good. And the catalyst will be a change in weather. Right now, that weather is warm. But eventually, that weather is going to get cold, and it's going to stay cold. So, and you know, you're going to see the expectations for demand increase, and then you'll see the reports come out on Thursday, and hopefully you would actually see a draw on demand. So right now that's not happening. I think it eventually will. Stay tuned for that. It's not the time to get into natural gas, but I do think that is coming around sooner rather than later. Excuse me, I'm still getting over this cold. So a couple other things as we go here. We're going to try to put these out more once a week. If you have any questions that you want answered, anything that you may want to talk about that we do on these podcasts or in my newsletter, Turner's Take, feel free to send them over. You can also follow me on Twitter, which is at Turner's Take. And if you go to our website, you'll see the handle there and also in the show notes. And you can also give me a call, 800-958-9470. Or reaching by email at cturner@danielstrading.com. So, yeah, I think the markets are finally starting to calm down. They're starting to price in maybe the expectations of how things will change, or either for good or bad, after the elections, and we'll just have to see how things go. Next week is Thanksgiving week, typically a light volume week. There'll usually a good bit of trading Monday and Tuesday. Starts to really wind down on Wednesday. Thursday, the markets are closed. Friday, there's a half day. And quite honestly, as soon as we get past the close on Wednesday, a lot of the firms and trading desks really go into skeleton staff. So I wouldn't expect a whole lot of action or news or reports or newsletters in the back end of next week. Hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.